Hello, Gasheads, and welcome to this episode of Gascast. I'm your host, Nino, and joining me for this one is Weeksy.
Good evening.
Good evening. And Max.
Good evening.
Max, your debut in front of the cameras.
Yes.
How are you feeling about it? You look nervous. I'm not going to lie. You look really uncomfortable.
No, it's just, it's a bit of a novelty. Not sure. Face for radio and all that, and just a bit. There's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
It feels a bit like a studio, but a bit more pizza.
We've started better than my first question to Willett was, it was just like, hi, Willett. And he forgot what time of day it was, remember, straight away. He didn't know whether to say good afternoon, good evening. So he made
it was a long day,
start.
Wasn't it?
It was a long day.
We had a long day.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who watched the last pod and gave your feedback as well. Much appreciated. Although one of my colleagues watched the last one. Actually, it was my boss who watched the last one. And he said that the flags in the background made it look like a terrorist hostage video. which wasn't the vibe that we were going for, but we've gone for it again. And obviously last time it fell down halfway through, so we're hoping that isn't going to...
That's Pete Rovers though, isn't it?
That is
Pete Rovers. It was on brand.
Someone replied and was like, that would only ever happen on a Rovers pod. So yeah, very on brand. Only last thing I want to say before we get going is that it was obviously World Mental Health Day yesterday. Yep. So we just wanted to give Talk Club a little shout out because the Rovers version at least, is predominantly run by Jack Newcomb from our pod. And it's run, so Talk Club Bristol Rovers runs, it's been running for 3 years. They meet every Thursday at the Mem in the Thatcher's Bar. It runs from 7 to 9 p.m. It is for men, so it's a talking and listening club for men. They do talk groups, sports groups, and therapy to help keep you mentally fit. And they basically just go around the group asking how everyone is out of 10. And they then have an open discussion basically about what's going on in their lives, any issues they're having. As we all know, talking helps massively with mental health and sharing any issues that we all have. And as men, we are pretty poor at doing that in general. So, yeah, I mean, Max, you've been to one of the Talk Club sessions, is that right?
Yeah, I went to one at the tail end of COVID. So it was all very spaced out, but it was good to kind of talk about, you know, that isolation period. And I think particularly for male loneliness, that probably was a really tough period for a lot of men.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that a lot of people were kind of talking about, and myself included. I found it just really mentally stimulating to talk to other blokes about it and just kind of destigmatize the whole, you know, toughen up and just get through it kind of stuff, and actually say, you know, actually, it's all right to be like, I'm actually feeling a bit shit and I want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And not be judged. And, you know, when you realise a lot of people are going through the same stuff, you can kind of relate and you get through it together. So I found it really good. Sadly, I live a bit of away from the Mem, so I don't get to go too often. Have wanted to go back and must go back. Even though I'm doing okay at the minute, it's good to, like, go in for a check-in.
Yeah.
And the one thing that they've said was that it's about training your brain like you go to the gym. You should go and, you know, talk to people about how you're feeling to keep your brain healthy. So... I would definitely recommend anyone who hasn't given it a look, have a look online, see what you think. If you want to show up to one, drop a message to Talk Club and to Jack and come along to the Mem and give it a go, because even, you know, if you want to just go once, it's definitely worthwhile.
Yeah, so I'll leave more information about Talk Club down in the description of this episode with a link and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, if you want to get involved in that, then I would strongly recommend it. Basically, it's a really brilliant thing that they do there. So let's move on to the first topic then. So we're going to have a little chat about Port Vale at Home, which was only about a week ago. It feels like it was absolutely ages ago for some reason, but obviously 3-0 win for the Gas. A few stats from that game. So possession was 59% to Rovers, 41% for Vale. Shots, 10 for Rovers, 5 for Vale. Shots on target, 7 for Rovers, 2 for Vale. Big chances, 2 for Rovers, none for Vale. And the XG was 1.17 for Rovers and 0.45 for Vale. So, Max, I know you weren't at this game.
Yep.
When was the last time you saw us win at the Mem?
New Year's Day. That's the last time I saw us. That's the last time I saw us win.
What year? Under McGee.
Yeah.
No, it's been a while though, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it's. I have been going to games. I promise.
No one actually wants you to go. You realise it's at the point now where everyone would rather you didn't go to games.
I've worked out. I've been to 12 games since New Year's Day, which isn't a great deal. But can you blame me when the Mem form has been pretty atrocious the tail end of last season. We had nothing to play for. But yeah, this season I've been going quite a bit. But the two recent home wins I was away for. I have watched all of our wins. Like, I've watched on iFollow, but I've not actually been there. So yeah, the last time I've actually been there was New Year's Day at the Cheltenham hangover 2-1 win, which was lethargic, dead crowd. And we didn't play amazing. But yeah, it's been a while and it's made me kind of think, maybe I should stay away.
Yeah, mate, just give me a season ticket.
Stadium
honestly.
Band.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, get on it.
You're doing me a favour, to be honest.
Yeah. But no, we were saying after the home game before this was the Wigan, the 4-1. And we were saying how that was the first Mem League win since the 7-0 against Scunthorpe that was by more than one goal.
Yeah.
Obviously, 10 days later, this game comes along, another convincing victory. Obviously helped by the red card for Vale, which will come on to the sort of how the game panned out a little bit later on. But Max, as we said back in the summer, home form needs to be a lot better this season if we're going to achieve the sort of things we want to achieve. And I guess so far so good after those last two games.
Yeah, it's definitely improved and it needed to. I think you look back to that Barnsley game, we should have won. We played really well. Momentum was with us. Can count ourselves unlucky for that one, but the Wickham and Lincoln game, so stagnant, so slow, complete regression, and we just needed we basically needed that Wigan game, a team that was going to come at us and basically open up the pitch to let us play our football.
Team that wanted to go toe to toe with us.
Yeah, basically. You know, and it was a good game as you guys spoke about in the last pod. It could have gone either way, and we kind of got ourselves in front early and then equalised and then ahead again and just kicked on from there. And I felt this was just the same, really. We're now trying to basically get that momentum and keep it. It's definitely an improvement. I've still got concerns about how we'll do against teams that don't want to come and give us a proper game and they want to sit back and hit us on the break or just
frustrate the crowd and
the players, because I think Vale, you know, they were in good form, albeit they lost one before us, but, you know, they had a really strong start to the season, above us in the league, top half side, did come to play football. And I thought, you know, having watched it back, it was very much, they looked good to start with. We scored maybe a little bit against the run of play and then the man sending off, and they were still looking really good with the man down. So, you know, I think that helped us tremendously, because when the game is more open, we've got those spaces to exploit. And our players just love to drive into that space and hit teams where it hurts. So, yeah, I think it's obviously a much-needed couple of wins at home. We've got another tough team in Stevenage coming.
I'm not looking forward to that game one bit. You know what sort of game that's going to be. Yeah. It's going to be a slog, that game.
And then we've got Northampton at home. So I think two teams that maybe will try and do what Wickham and Lincoln did. So that will be the test to see whether we have turned a corner or whether we just play better against certain styles of teams.
Yeah. Weeksy, as Max said there, even though it ended up being a convincing win in the end, I thought Vale started this game really brightly. Yeah. I thought 11v11, I thought they looked a really tidy side, to be fair. I mean, they were fourth in the table going into that game, I believe. So, you know, the table suggested they were a good side. Some of the patterns of play they were putting together, really neat moves. As Max said, I think we did kind of take the lead against the run of play when we went 1-0 up. I don't think we'd really had an attack in anger, really, by that point. But yeah, just on the goal, great ball in by Giovanni Brown. And then delicate little flicked header from Maka. Lovely finish.
That's what he does.
That's what he does.
That's what he said, wasn't it? That's what he does. So, but in all seriousness, that's what we need more of. I think we need more midfield runners coming from centre midfield, getting themselves in the box. I think that's why... Well, one of the reasons why we have been misfiring this season, we're kind of just still relying on the front three to go and do the business, where you need, you know, the runner from midfield to get into the box, getting onto the ball late, taking defences by surprise.
Well, we had very few goals from midfield last season.
Yeah.
Centre midfield has chipped in with very, very few. I mean, Maka himself, I don't think, got a goal last season, and he's already on two now with Charlton away and obviously this game, so...
And I thought he started the game very bright as well. And he seemed to build in confidence as the game went on. I think, I can't remember who it was for Port Vale, but they had a chance literally a couple minutes before that. Ball flashed across the box and he scuffed it wide type thing. And I thought, you're right. I turned and I said, we've rode our luck there. What's just got the other end and score?
Fell to, I think it was Ben Garrity, like centre.
Yeah, and he normally, to be fair to him, he normally pops up with a goal or two, doesn't he? Well, he seems to be popping up on the EFL highlights. So, you know, yeah, it was nice for us to take the lead, and it kind of took that pressure off for us. But for Port Vale, to be fair to them, they came out and they really did press us, especially our left-hand side with Harvey Vale and Josh Grant. I thought they really tried to get in down that side for it. And you know, we dealt with it really well, which the boys, you know, Grant and Harvey Vale have been dealing with very well. And like you said, it was just taking the lead, getting our noses in front, and then we could build from there. And you know, I know the game took a turn with the red card, but I still think we would have gone on to win that game comfortably with 11. You know, I thought the crowd was a little bit subdued at the start of the game.
Yeah.
And then we kind of grew into it with the team. That's what it felt like. And yeah, it was just a relief, to be honest, to get a first goal at home. And it's just, you could feel the pressure off everybody's shoulders. So
yeah.
Yeah, it was a good start to the game and, you know, got us going and set the tone for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, Max, as we said, Macca's second goal of the season already. I don't think he's still found his consistency in his performance levels as yet. But as we said, you know, very few goals from midfield last season. I don't think Macca probably hasn't got the same technical level as some of our midfielders in there. But what he does have is the goal threat and the running power. He'll run for days. He's always running beyond the striker. I know we'll come on to Oxford in a bit, but he made a lot of runs beyond Martin. And if you've got someone like Martin up front with limited pace, he's going to need people like Macca sort of running beyond him and doing the sort of, yeah, his running, I suppose. So yeah, I mean, just on Macca, he's had a good start to the season. He needed it, and he's going to be a big player for us this season if he can keep this up.
Yeah, I was surprised that he was in the starting lineup, to be fair. I think that goal at Charlton was obviously massive for him and the club, getting that first win of the season, and for him, you know, the year he'd had, it was obviously, he was very emotional after that game. And I thought at the time, I thought I'd like to see him be given a start. He obviously wasn't, and I thought he kind of fell again by the wayside, and I thought, oh, he's just never going to be trusted with that opportunity. And I think maybe the club and the management don't rate him particularly highly even after that goal. And I kind of thought, well, if that's not going to get him the run of games, then nothing is. So I kind of had almost, even though I still think there's a player in there, I'd almost kind of half given up on the fact that he'd be given a chance. So to see him in the starting lineup, I was really pleased to see. And then for him to pop up, you know, very quickly with a goal, I was just like, get in. You know, that is just rewarding the management team with their patience in him and rewarding his patience with the management team. And I think, like you say, he just offers something completely different to Evans in that midfield attacking pivot. So you've got the two defensive midfielders in Bogard and Woods. And then usually it's either Evans. It's usually Evans there. Collins has played there once or twice. I think with Evans, I think he's had a much better season than last season because he has played in that number 10 role, and he kind of offers himself as the pivot to play off. So when Thomas is going down the right, Evans loves to underlap there. And then you've got Collins coming down the left. Evans is there as well to kind of offer the 1-2s or to turn it and then play it to striker's feet or to cross it in from a wide position. And that's all very well and good, but I just don't feel like he's involved in the box. And that just leaves one man up there. And I think when you've got Chris Martin, who himself is much more hold-up player-oriented than someone like Marquis or Collins when they're playing in the number 9 position, I think you need an attacking midfielder who is more of a goal threat, drive into the box, shoot, get on the end of things, kind of tenacious little terrier. And I think McCormick fits that bill perfectly. And I think with Martin there, he just opens the game up a lot more. He's making those runs. He's splitting defenders. He's stretching the defence. That opens up pockets for Collins to come inside. That opens pockets for Brown to get it on the edge and curl it in. And I just think the balance of the attack is much better with Martin and McCormick than it was with Marquis and Evans. Albeit only two games, I'm really keen to see more of it. And I think obviously with Marquis's injury, we potentially will.
Yeah, weeks ago, I turned to my old man around the 30th minute mark and said, they're going to score in a minute if we don't change something, as in Vale. As you said, they were really kind of overloading our left-hand side. So I know a few teams have targeted Harvey Vale and his obviously lack of left-back experience, I suppose. With Vale, they kind of reminded me of, do you remember Chris Wilder's Sheffield United side when they had the overlapping centre-backs?
Yeah.
So they'd play a back three, but the centre-backs would just bomb on and play as wingers. And Vale were kind of doing the same thing. So they played a 3-4-3. And at times, Harvey Vale was having to defend against their right wing back, the right centre back would overlap and come and join, the right centre midfielder would come over, the right number 10 would come over. So sometimes Harvey Vale would have about four or five Vale men around him, and they were constantly getting in down that side, getting crosses in. As you said, there was a few flashed across the box like that that Cox palmed out. Thankfully, most of them didn't fall to a Vale man. But then, obviously, I think it's around the 35th or so minute, Vale go down to 10 men. And, I mean, really, from that point onwards, I mean, the game changes massively on that, doesn't it? And from that point, they never really looked like getting back into that game, I thought.
No, and I think they tried to. I think they were trying to be positive. But I really do think in that second half, we did take our foot off the gas. We had another gear or two to go into, and I just don't think we needed to stretch ourselves with the amount of games coming up. And their game plan's completely out the window at that point. They're, like you said, they're trying to create those overloads in certain places. And they just were unable to do that in the end. So I think it ended up turning into damage limitation for them, which, to be fair, they probably did quite well. But like you said, with them getting in behind and crossing those balls in the box, I think we said on a previous pod, with Connor Taylor in there, there's been, you know, who looks like his old self. If you like, when he, his first few games, he looked a little bit shaky. But now he's just a colossus back there. And the confidence, you know, when balls are coming into our box now, I'm not thinking, oh no, we're going to concede it.
Especially if they're in the air.
Because he's just going to get his head on it. Or, and to be fair to Josh Grant, we noticed a lot. He's picking and choosing when he goes up for headers, which I think, you know, is brilliant football IQ. And his positioning is just second to none. He really does know how to play the position. And I kind of hesitate when I saw an article today saying that, you know, we're playing players out of position. Josh Grant doesn't look out of position for me at centre-half. I actually think he looks better.
Yeah, I agree.
He doesn't... His lack of mobility, which I think is apparent now with his the injuries that he suffered, he doesn't need to worry about that where he's playing. And I think he also gives such good cover for Harvey Belt left-back. He's playing 10 yards further forward. We noticed that Oxford on Saturday, when Harvey Vell's got the ball, he turns into another midfielder, which again is pushing us up the pitch. So I think our defensive shape is looking really good. So when Port Vale were giving us those problems, although they were problems, I don't think it was a real, real worry. And that gives everybody confidence in the team. It gives the goalkeeper confidence, the rest of the defence and the midfield confidence. So it's all looking really quite good, and it all stemmed from probably that Wigan game and then into Port Vale. And it was the perfect type at home, got our noses in front, opposition team down to 10 men, everyone relaxed a little bit. And it was perfect timing for that. And hopefully we don't look back from it, but
no,
kick-started our season, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Max, obviously having the extra man is a big advantage. But it was still nice, I thought, just to see us make such light work of it, because everyone watching this who's a gashead knows that over the years we typically don't make easy work of playing against 10 men.
We've had some absolute
horror shows playing against 10 men over the years. But this time, like Weeksy said, it was a bit of a dull second half, but it was kind of all it needed to be, because we were professional, got the job done, no frills, very un-Rovers.
Yeah, the one that always gets me is the Salford away game when they had 9.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I remember that.
1-0 up against 9 men.
Yeah.
And they score in injury time to get the point. Not that it mattered, because we went up anyway.
No.
I think
helped in this one by the fact that we scored the second just before half time.
Yeah.
So Collins gets the ball in for Hunt at the back post. I think if it goes in at 1-0, obviously Vale then probably do have a little bit of hope going into the second half. But when you get the second just before the break,
completely rips up the half time team talk and what the manager was gonna, you know, he's probably thinking, okay, so we're gonna switch to this, we're gonna maybe hit them a bit more on the break, we're gonna frustrate them. Don't let them get the second. They're going to want the second to kill the game, and then we just hit them on the break and get an equaliser. The minute that second one goes in, they realise they got to get two against us, and
that's when it switches to damage limitation.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Exactly.
The psychology changes then.
Exactly.
Hugely.
So
yeah,
it's huge, and it's the best time to score. And I think, you know, that's why it was so important. We'll go on to Oxford, that we, you know, we tried to just get that equaliser before half time, and we obviously didn't, and then it allowed them to obviously change up and give us a much, much more difficult second half. And I think that's why it's so important for us to get that second against Vale. And then, you know, you say damage limitation, but for also for us, it's also now injury limitation. How do we make this easier on ourselves?
And that was quite obvious, I thought.
Yeah.
But wasn't it quite nice watching a second half just relaxing? Yeah. And not having to worry.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly that's where I think we just kind of went into first gear, if you like, and just kind of
cruised it.
Just cruised through that second half, which I thought was really sensible, rather than trying to go out there and get 5, 6, 7 when you don't really need to.
Yeah. Me and my dad spent most of the second half, because we stand in the Thatchers, just analysing the structure of the South Stand and just trying to envision it all filled in. Yeah. It's nice though, that every time you go back to the Mem now, it's a little bit more. Yeah. Done,
still, you know? No planning permission.
No, so
it could all just be like, take it down, though.
I mean, it looks permanent to me. But, you know, there was floodlights put on it as well, if you noticed.
Yes.
There was extra floor kind of lighting put on there. So
yeah.
It is nice going back and seeing an extra little bit.
There's
going to come a stage
when
it can't fit the tent in, isn't there?
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see the next home game, Stevenage, yeah.
Yeah, because there's a bit of a break now, isn't there, till the next home game, so it should be theoretically quite a bit further along again.
The only football club in the world, dare I say, to have a stand within a stand?
I hope so.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I hope so.
Bristol Rovers Football Club.
Absolutely love it. Yeah, so second half, as we said, was a bit of a non-event. Not really a lot to talk about until...
Oh, my goodness.
Big JB... goalless up to this stage. I mean, what a way to open his account.
He missed a chance or two as well, didn't he?
He did. Game.
Yeah, what a way to open your account.
What a way. What a goal. I mean, 85th minute. I don't think we didn't need a third one to wrap up the game, but in front of the Thatchers, the goal that kills it. He gets up, when I watched it back as well, he's a lot further out than I thought he was at the time. And it almost... Ripley's kind of on his line, but the ball still like loops over Ripley. It's just like the technique is just an amazing goal, and hopefully that now kickstarts his career at Rovers and he can go on to get a few more.
I mean, the last few weeks I've seen him, he does look sharper, and he does look to have a bit more pace about him. I know he played well at Portsmouth and things, but kind of start stop type, wasn't it? And I think it was,
didn't he?
Yeah, and it's always going to be that case, I think, because he hadn't played football for so long, he was out for so long. It's going to take a while to get going, and we definitely haven't seen the best of him yet. And I think I'm quite excited by what we're going to see, and he's going to get... So he was going to get a run in the team. I'm sure we'll go on to that. But after that, the impending ban, and he will get a run in the team with Luke Thomas being injured. And,
yeah.
You know, that's going to kickstart his career with us, and what an option to have when, you know, that's kind of your second choice right winger. So, yeah, looking good.
I think when I watch him, I think he's got all the technical... an IQ ability to be a top player, and I just wish he had just half a yard more pace.
I know he's missing that 10% pace.
Just had that little bit of pace, he would be he would be in the Championship. He wouldn't be playing for us.
Mm.
But yeah, I just think if he had pace, he'd be unstoppable. Man. Yeah. His technical skill set, his crossing, his vision, his shooting technique is unreal. Even, you know, we'll go on to talk about the Oxford game and the yellow card, but the goalie scored after the whistle for the free kick. Just the technique to curl that in. It's exactly the same as the other goal. And yeah, brilliant. And I think, you know, how many games are left of the season? 30, 32, 33? Yep.
Plenty.
And we've only played 10, 11. We're going to see so much more of Giovanni Brown, I hope. And yeah, the best is definitely yet to come.
No, you're right. If you could put Giovanni Brown and Luke Thomas in a test tube and bring out Giovanni Brown with Thomas's pace... the player you'd have would be frightening. Because you're right, I think technically he's got to be one of the best players in the squad by far. Mm. But yeah, there's just times where you just love him to have that bit of pace to burst past someone or make a run in behind, and he just hasn't quite got it. But as you said, he'd be in the Championship if he had it. So yeah, one of those things. Someone else who doesn't have a burst of pace anymore is Chris Martin. He is the one individual performance I want to chat about from this game, because it was his full debut. He came on away at Peterborough in the game prior to this one, had 15 minutes or so at the end of that one. Yeah, played the majority of this one. I think he came off around the 87th minute or so. What did you make of his performance, I guess? You were raving about him in the group chat afterwards.
It's just those little touches of class where, you know, previous strikers may not hold it up or get the flick on, get in front of a defender. And he's not as tall as I thought he was.
Yeah.
But God, he's just like an ox, isn't he? He's just incredibly strong. It's unbelievable.
He's about as wide as he is tall.
Yeah.
But he's just built. He's so built.
And
like a fridge.
Yeah.
And I just think with the players that we've got, Max touched on it there with the dynamic of our attack with him up front, players like Brown and Collins and McCormick can get past him. You know, where Marquis quite likes chasing people down, harrying, just being a shithouse, let's be fair. Where Chris Martin was just winning everything. It's just, it's if you weren't there, it's really hard to explain, but he's just getting the little flicks and stuff that, you know, little throw-ins down the line. We've never been very good at throw-ins, I don't ever think. Sounds like a daft thing, but we just launch it down the line, they head it back to us, and we go from there. But he was just chesting things round the corner, knocking balls around the corner, and we just seemed like Collins and Giovanni Brown had a new lease of life where they were getting the ball where they wanted to get the ball. They didn't have to come back and get it at all. Chris Martin was doing all that work. And to be fair to him, I thought he looked reasonably fit. Considering
I thought that as well. He actually did really have a little bit more pace than I thought he was. Yeah, but all jokes aside, he can move still.
So I was talking to my cousin about it. My cousin's a Bristol City fan and said, you're really going to like him. He said, honestly, you're going to be like him. He can move more than you think. And to be fair, that was the impression I got. And, you know, I think he's going to have a lot of football to play in the next couple of weeks. So I'm hoping he's going to be okay. I think he looks a little bit tired, I must admit, at Oxford. I'm sure people may agree, but... he's got a big role to play up until January, and see where we are then, and we can reassess. But I think it's been a really shrewd signing. Has really helped us out with Marcus's injuries. I think we would have been in a little bit of trouble.
Oh, we'd have been in big trouble,
But I think it's that number nine that Joey's always wanted, that tip of the attack. And, you know, I think a lot of our attacking playing patterns are going to go through him. And, you know, if he can chip in maybe 5 goals up until January, I think he would have been worth his weight in gold with his wages and everything. And he's probably going to make more goals than he scores.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think he's going to be prolific. But I don't think he's going to get a lot of chances, because I do think, like you said, he's going to be the guy who we play it into for him to hold it up and lay it off to Collins, Brown, McCormick running past him.
So what I did notice, though, that we... when we have got the ball in crossing positions, where Jack Hunt's got it or Harvey Vell, they were more comfortable with crossing the ball.
100%.
They were looking up, and there was actually there's a body in there to aim at. I think it's good. I thought it was a brilliant debut, and you know
he's all elbows as well. Yeah, I love
proper
it.
Proper striker.
Yeah.
Almost remind me of a better player, but almost remind me of when Andy Rammel came to Rovers.
I've literally got on the script here, reminded me of Andy Rammel.
Oh, there you go. I genuinely didn't know that, but that's who he reminded me of. A better version, I would say.
All right, cool. Let's move on to the Oxford game then. A place that obviously over the last 10 plus years has been a very happy hunting ground for Rovers. Lots of victories there. Unfortunately, not to be this time. Stats from it though. So possession was 43 for Oxford, 57 for Rovers. Shots, 17 for Oxford, 15 for Rovers. Shots on target, 6 for Oxford, 7 for Rovers. Big chances, 2 for Oxford, none for Rovers. XG was 1.86 for Oxford and 1.01 for Rovers. So, full disclosure, I didn't see this game live. I was in Butlins dressed as Pikachu.
as you do.
That's what I do every Saturday. However, I have watched the match back in full yesterday. It's what I spent my evening doing. Usually don't voluntarily watch defeats back, but I thought I've got to talk about it, so why not? It was actually quite an interesting way to watch the game, but I've never done it before. But you almost watch it without the emotion of watching it live, and you can almost be a bit more analytical of it, I found. So, yeah, it was quite helpful. Max, obviously, going into it, always looked a very tough game on paper with our ever-growing injuries list, which we'll come on to talk about, but B, obviously, Oxford have started like a train. However, obviously, we did lose, but... In my opinion, if you're going to lose a football match, then there are ways to do it. And I thought that was how you lose a football match, coming out of it with the performance making you feel like, yeah, we've got a team here.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I'd like to maybe, I don't want to dodge your question too much, but I do also want to maybe just talk about the Peterborough game as well.
Go for it.
I feel both these away games against two top teams in the league, Oxford and Peterborough, I just feel hard done by that. We got 0 points from both. I think
it's a travesty.
It is. And you know, Joey came out post match and said we feel aggrieved, and I agree. I do feel disappointed, not in the team, not in the way we set up, not in the structure, but just in the fact that we for some reason haven't got our rub of the green. I think you can go back to the Peterborough game. It was all us that first half. And then it was just a deflected free kick, which bounced through and trickled into the corner. And then just a weird start to the second half. And, you know, we had one cleared off the line. We hit the post twice. I just feel like that that Peterborough game, for me, on the balance of the game, was a draw. I feel 1-1 would have been very fair.
As I said on Twitter after that game, I honestly think if you play that game 10 times and it plays out in a similar sort of way with both teams playing similarly, I think Rovers win 7+ of those 10 games.
Yeah.
And this was just one of those three that somehow we lost. And
So the Peterborough game was, and I felt completely happy after that loss, which is very rare for me.
Mm.
And then obviously the post-match with Joe and Luke Thomas, which we said that we said before we recorded, I'd like to go into it, but like it feels like it's a long time ago now, and maybe the
not to blow our own trumpet, I feel like it, as a pod in general, we are quite good at chatting about stuff like this. Like we don't dodge things like that.
Yeah.
And we're not doing it this time. It's just that I feel like all of that's just blown over now. It is a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
They seem to have put it behind them, Barton and Thomas. So yeah.
I would love to come on, you know, come here every week and do the pod every week, but unfortunately we're all very busy with
man's got lives.
We have got other stuff. So unfortunately, you know, we are a fortnightly show, and that's the downside of having a Saturday game two weeks ago, that there's obviously a big topic that we
still gonna piss the FCAs though.
Yeah, apparently so.
We're not.
I've heard that 1.2 million people voted
for Gascast.
For us.
Of that number, we don't know how many are for Gascast. But to go back to my point, Oxford, another game where I just feel like a draw probably would have been fair on the balance of it. And maybe we could have edged it with a bit of luck. And it's just very frustrating that we've got... There's a number of games now. Pompey away, Barnsley at home, Peterborough away and Oxford away, four of the top teams in this division, and we've played well and could have got wins out of all four of those games, and we've got no wins. In fact, we've got two draws and two defeats.
2 points and, where we should have got 9-10.
Yeah, and you're thinking, you know, if we want to be up there, these are the teams that we've got to go make a statement against and go get a win. We haven't won any of them, but that said, I think if you look to previous years, and this may be a small victory, we were miles off getting anything at any of those teams last year or year before, previous seasons in League One. Yeah, I think the fact that we're competing and being on a par with them and just being unlucky just shows the progress, and I think it will come. We just need to be patient. The play is there, the style is there, we're creating chances, we're just not getting the luck. And you know, luck doesn't always even out over the course of a season, but I think the confidence is there. They don't seem, you know, downtrodden by the defeats or deflated. Every game we start really well now, and we're going at it. And I'm just really optimistic. I said at the start of the season, I think we'll finish fourth. I still think we'll be a good shout for playoffs if we keep going as we are. We just need to stay positive, keep doing what we're doing, and as fans, be patient. And yeah, we've got a good run of games coming up. Let's see what we can do.
Weeksy, I know you obviously went to this one.
Yep.
How was the away day? Forget the game. How was the day?
Did you go Bowlplex?
Of course we went to Bowlplex.
Did Gas take the Bowlplex?
Yes, we went to Bowlplex.
That's the real victory,
isn't it?
One of
the only places to get a beer in there, really.
Yeah.
In all fairness. Really good away day.
Train it? Drive?
No, drove. My old man on the way up said, why have you picked me up so early? Didn't know it was a 12:30 kickoff. So he thought we were going to Oxford at 8:30 in the morning for a 3:00 kickoff, which
he must
quite
have been
funny.
Like, fuck, we're getting right on it today.
Which
four
I
hours
now.
Of drinking before the game.
2-for-1 slush puppies.
And some air hockey. But a really good, a good away day, really good atmosphere. I thought the away end was particularly good.
And also, what I was going to say is, at full time after the game, Rovers put on Twitter or X. A video of the away end and like the players going over to the away end, and surprised me how full it still was. It didn't look like many people
not
had
many
left.
Went.
And also just, you know, they got sung off the pitch and everyone was up, and
I think everybody appreciated the performance and what we were trying to do in that game. I may have rattled a few on Oxford fans on Twitter this week when I tweeted about the flat atmosphere from the Oxford fans. We were actually surprised. On our way up, we said that we expected it to be full and them to be really up for it, but it just seemed flat as a pancake.
Second
it was unbelievable.
In the league.
I know, the second absolutely fly in, you know, been playing some decent football, and it just seemed really odd. I don't know, it was really noticeable anyway, put it that way. And I happened to put something on Twitter about it, and then I was driving, so obviously didn't see my phone. Got home, I was like, oh, okay.
That's I may how have that's rattled
it
for
you, but you know, it was in jest, really. But yeah, definitely, I went fishing with that one. But yeah, it was good away down. Yeah, you could see everybody was behind the team. You know, we I thought we started the game really well. You know, till Billy broke our hearts and started breaking ankles in our box.
He wound back the years.
He did. He really did. And to be fair, he didn't celebrate. First thing I noticed, he was like,
yeah,
sorry guys.
Yeah. Touch of class.
Yeah.
Touch
and,
class.
And we love Billy. I love Billy Bode. He's still one of my favourites to watch. So it's good to see him. We were discussing, actually, we thought his career might be over after his latest knee injury. Mm. So it's actually quite nice to see him back. Not nice to see him slamming one in the back of the net at the Kassam.
He's not like doing that all the time though, is he, for Oxford?
Nah,
he's
come very much
a squad player for them.
Yeah.
Does that maybe, you know, a little bit tricky once a game, but nowhere near.
You didn't see him in the rest of the game.
No.
You didn't see him in the rest of the game. He had that one touch of class.
Yeah, so obviously, as I said, I watched the game back and I was listening to the radio commentary.
I like you.
And second half started, and I think Bowden got taken off on about 65, 70 minutes. Yeah. And the commentators, I think it was Richard Hoskin or someone, genuinely was like, oh, I didn't realise Bowden was still on the pitch as he was coming off.
Didn't really do much else.
Yeah, it was very quiet.
I thought we kept Oxford in general very quiet. I've always liked Branigan in centre midfield for them, but I didn't really notice him much either. So they're big players. You didn't really see him. We've done a job on it. It's one of those games where we just didn't want half-time because we were so on top. And then we came out for the second half. It just felt like we didn't quite get going again, and it needed it to all kick off a little bit, and you know, we started to get ourselves back in the game. And like we were discussing before, I haven't seen Aaron Collins' chance back in the first half when he went through, whether he got clipped or whether he didn't get clipped, but feeling away, and we were quite frustrated with him not getting the shot away, which is what he did in the second half and buried it into the roof of the net. So overall, it's one of those. I think you had a nail on the head. If you're going to lose a game, that's the way you lose it. And you lose it actually competing and trying. And I'll put it out there now. We will finish above Oxford. Absolutely no doubt about it in my mind. We were so far.
Sounding very Joey right now.
We will finish above Oxford. There you go.
Clip that up.
Clip it up. Clip that up.
Clip that bastard.
So I know you said about with Peterborough. I think we'll finish above both of them. And I genuinely think we're going to be up there. And that gave me the belief, I think, the performance in those two games. I think you're right, it's two defeats, but we just got to start putting our chances away. And there were a few comments of if there was a certain JCH in the box, would we have converted some of those chances? And I do genuinely think once you start being more clinical, you're going to see us, you know, rising up the table. And I think that is literally the missing piece now. And, you know, bear in mind, we've gone to Oxford with lots of injuries. Loads of injuries. It's a bit of a depleted side, really. And
do you want to list them? Have you got them there? All the injuries?
I have got them. We're going to do a little injury chat later on, okay. So I will come on to
but
that.
But it's significant,
but
isn't it?
Significant. It is.
Do you know, can you tell us how many it is?
It's about 9 or 10.
Not many League One clubs could probably take that and still compete. So
with second in the league at their place.
Yeah. And I think with the little break that we've got coming up as well, hopefully maybe even if we just get one or two back would be a great help. And real good day overall, and just disappointment we didn't get a result, but we were due a loss, weren't we? To be fair, we could keep winning there, so we'll take that one. We'll let them have that one.
Have it. Max, sort of moving through the game, Rovers, I feel like, have often been guilty of being quite slow starters under Barton in League One. Especially last season, there was a lot of games where it was a second half revival. However, the first 45 minutes here, I think, is one of the best halves of football I've seen from Rovers in his tenure, certainly, but in a long time, to be honest, against a side as good as that, flying, banging in the goals. I know we didn't score, but I honestly think it's probably one of the best halves of football under Barton's tenure at this level.
We got a score.
We have got a score.
We've got to put it in the onion bag. I know. And it's very frustrating. It's not a knock on the players or the way we want to play. It's just, it does feel like if you go back to the performances at the tail end of last season, when we were starting to develop this style of play, but we didn't quite have the pace and the options up front other than Aaron Collins, we've addressed that. And it really is that final piece.
It is
that striker who's the prolific striker. And, you know, had we got it in, we could be sat here having a very different conversation. But
Well, Oxford have one until so Oxford have one shot on target. So their goal is their first shot on target is in the 12th minute, I think it is.
How many times have we said that this season? The Wickham game at home, the Lincoln game at home, the first chance, first goal. We need to cut that out. As much as we need to be clinical up front, we also need to cut out the silly goals. I mean, Billy was doing Billy things, wasn't he? He was chopping ankles, putting people on the floor. But
did you see Oxford's tweet today?
No.
They've put an image up of Billy twisting, and then they've done a second image of a close-up of Josh Grant looking on helplessly on the floor, which I thought was a bit...
There's no need for that.
No need for that. Leave
that
him alone.
That man's broken his ankles enough times.
Yeah, he doesn't need Billy's help with that.
Yeah.
No.
But the annoying thing about that, though, is Connor Taylor's slip,
yeah,
which is just the worst possible moment. Because if he doesn't slip over, then he just nods that dink away, and we just probably go on a counter-attack. Slips at the wrong moment, goes through to Billy, chops inside Grant, leaves him on the floor. Not the first time he's done that, not the last. You know, he's absolute class, as we were saying. But that slip just came at the worst possible moment, didn't it, Weeksy? And it was...
Like you say,
it's a shame, because for us this season, the first goal in games is huge. I think Dan Hargreaves did a piece that went out on the post either earlier today or yesterday with the stats of how many points we get in the first goal, and it's majority of them, I think 13 or 15.
I have a stat for you.
Hit me with a stat.
Here we go.
70% of teams who score the first goal win the game.
There we go. Obviously, yeah. So Oxford get the first goal in this one.
Yep.
Just really annoying, because other than that, watching it back, didn't really feel like they threatened at all first half.
Our reaction to the goal was brilliant.
Yeah.
We didn't let them then get on top and take control of the game, did we? We just carried on doing what we were doing. We don't seem to be fazed if we go down. But like you said, that stat there, 70% sides winning a game when they scored the first goal. Like, it's an uphill battle, isn't it, then? And, you know, it can change what they want to do. Maybe they sit in. They seem happy to let us have the ball. But in the second half, we just became sloppy. I don't think they played their way in. We just got a bit sloppy. So
yeah,
maybe that's something to work on.
I expected us to go there before the game. They're quite a possession-heavy side like us. And Liam Manning, I think, was that way when he managed MK Dons as well. But first half, we had something like 60% of the ball. And even in the second half, where we're obviously down to 10 men for more of it than not, we still had more possession than them in the second half. So I feel like them getting the opening goal did mean that they probably did drop off us more than they ordinarily would have done. And obviously, Collins has a few chances in the first half. One that he puts across goal that the keeper makes a good save to. And then obviously in the 37th minute, he puts it in the net. Lovely move. I think Collins,
brilliant,
Brown, then it goes out to Hunt on the right, who puts the ball in. Obviously if that goes in, maybe it's a different game, but frustrating. Have you seen it back?
I saw stills, and to be fair, he did look the wrong side for me. So I think it probably was the right decision.
Yeah.
We couldn't see from the away end. It was one of those impossible to see. But I think the flag went up reasonably quickly, didn't it? So
yeah,
hard to argue against, really.
Frustrating. Max, obviously Rovers go in 1-0 down at half-time. Obviously having been very buoyed, I imagine, by the first 45 minutes. Oxford did then start fairly brightly, I thought, the second half. They probably...
They did.
Yeah, kind of had changes. To, really. They were always going to do that at home. Had a bit of a period of sustained pressure then without really creating much. And then obviously the game massively swings on Brown getting sent off in the 62nd minute, having been booked 6 minutes previously for kicking the ball away. And it was just a massive uphill task from then.
I mean, it's not a yellow. The first one's not a yellow. He's pulled his leg back to shoot as the ref's blown his whistle. You can't not hit it. Like, he's hit it. He's already... His brain's already told his leg to move as the whistle's been blown. So the booking for that is very silly. And I think when you can come away from a game, regardless of the result, and both sets of supporters both say, what an atrocious referee.
Yeah.
You know that you can at least shrug and say, oh, at least it's consistent between both sides.
Yeah.
You can't feel too hard done by. I mean, the fact that they've had one of their two red cards rescinded, the straight red right at the end has been rescinded, which, God knows, I've watched it back 3 or 4 times. I cannot tell what that is for. I think it's maybe kind of a high tackle, a little bit, but
jumped in with a scissor action. But I still don't think it's a red card.
Yeah, I didn't really clip him or didn't... I don't know. It wasn't at any pace or... I just thought it was a bit wishy-washy.
Well, obviously, like I said, I wasn't watching the game live, but I was getting updates through. And when I looked at full-time and saw there'd been 3 red cards in the game, I was thinking, oh, that's been a bit tasty. There's been some challenges flying in. Watching the game back, I'm honestly astonished that that game finishes 9-10. I don't think any player should have been sent off.
I can't remember really a tackle going in.
No.
You know, Finley's reaction. I always look at a player's reaction. The reaction to a tackle, he just got up and wanted to get on with it and play football. So, you know, Finley's, you know, not shy in coming forward, is he?
No, no.
if he's not happy with something. Yeah. So,
very odd.
Yeah, a bit of a strange one. Yeah.
But yeah, the red card definitely shifted. I mean, we didn't have any momentum really at the time, but that pretty much kills... For me, that's just a, oh God, here we go. You know, they're going to score a second and that'll be that. They're going to manage this out. Like, we managed the Port Vale game. And that's pretty much what happened. The second goal, was it 81st minute?
Somewhere around that time.
As soon as that goes in, a lot of us kind of resided to the defeat. And then we did get, you know, the Collins goal is an absolute lifeline, really. That goes in and it's 88 minutes on the clock and there's 9 minutes added time. It is a little bit like, you know, the momentum's with you. You've got one back. It's 2-1. The pressure's all on them now not to draw the game. They want to secure the win. And then, obviously, then you had the second... It then became 10-10 for the second yellow for their player. And then, you know, the second sending off for Oxford, the straight red. And then all of a sudden, we're a man up. And I know there's 2 minutes left, but it just became a little bit... I don't want to think about it too much because it's going to upset me, but the Sinclair chance at the end.
Oh...
That goes
I've
in.
I've not seen that back.
That goes in. It's pandemonium, really.
The limbs in that away. If that goes in,
we would have been trouble in there.
It's just what we needed. What we needed.
Down
really,
the stairs.
Another 5-10 minutes.
Yes,
I think 100%. We could have got something out of the game.
Yeah,
the momentum had just shifted back to us.
The thing I found frustrating watching it back is Oxford's second goal, to be honest.
Oh, that's such a rubbish goal.
It's
rubbish.
So soft.
Yeah.
And then Colin scores, and it's like, oh. You know, that makes that goal more annoying to concede because it's like, now we could have got a point here.
I think the general conversation was around us that, oh, just 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
Because I thought Oxford actually managed the game quite well. They got it down into that far corner and we just couldn't get the ball back or get it out. And it was just killing time down in there. We just didn't have, it was like one more chance. But, you know, my old man did turn to me and he said, that Sinclair chance, he went, that was the chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was right.
I just think when you're down to 10 men, if the other side overload you somewhere where you can't get a player across quickly enough and they score that way, or if it's just a general good bit of play where they cut through, you kind of hold your hands up and go, fair enough. But for it to be from a set piece, oh, it's just so frustrating. As we've said, one of the craziest and most bizarre last 10 minutes of a match I can remember in a long time. As Max said, somehow we end the game with a numerical advantage. Obviously it is a consolation goal in the end, but that Collins strike, lovely little finish.
Naughty. It's what he does best. Collins at his best when he doesn't think. He gets it. I'm just smashing this back.
He can't finish a one-on-one, but someone like, give him a chance like that and he'll put it away more times than not.
The one-on-one thing is so weird because, you know, most strikers, how many one-on-ones has he had this season? I would say 5 one-on-ones.
4 or 5, yeah.
5, and to score none of them. Most strikers in this league with that many one-on-ones would put one or two away. And I think back to last season, he would get one-on-one a lot. And every time he would open his body up, keeper would come, and he would just shimmy one way or another and go round the keeper.
Well, it was Cheltenham away, wasn't it? Where he had 2 one-on-ones, and both times he went round the keeper and slotted it into an empty goal. So he can do that. But every time he goes to finish a one-on-one...
He doesn't do it now. He doesn't try and go round the keeper, which, you know, he's got the ability to do. He just kind of slows himself down, looks up, the keeper's closed the angle, and then he tries to meg him, I think, pretty much every time.
Yeah, go straight through him.
He tries to go through him, and it's not working. And I don't know why he doesn't just square up, open his body, keeper doesn't know which foot he's going to use, and just shimmy round.
Yep.
It's easy for me to say, but like, and I'm sure, you know, this is Aaron Collins' job. Like, he's in training 4 days a week. Like, he's a striker. He will be doing this in training, so... You know, he's very, very, very good at doing it, and is no doubt working on those one-on-ones. But you know, we're just not seeing the returns on it, and it's not a concern. Collins, I think, obviously had that dry spell last season, and he's obviously come in for some criticism this year whether he can hit that form of last year. For me, I think he is now, after that Oxford game, I think he is close to getting back to that peak.
Hold your horses. We have a Colin section coming up.
I agree.
Save that take.
Okay.
Last question I want to ask you before we go on to individual performances, one of which is Colin's. Question from Josh MBE on Twitter. We've kind of already talked about this, but it says, does it feel like Rovers are on the verge of something special, but things just not going our way?
Definitely.
Nods. Yeah. Lot of quality in that side, but just not clinical enough. We could have won most games convincingly if chances were taken, or am I being too optimistic? What I thought after this game was that I think I've been to every one of the Rovers wins at the Kassam over the last 10 years or so. I don't remember... Very few times, other than last year where we beat them 3-0, I think. Very few times have I come away from the Kassam and thought we were the better side there. Like, we played them off the park.
There was one 2-0.
There was a 2-0.
Sinclair and Ollie Clark.
But a lot of the games I remember, Oxford were the better football inside. Yeah. We would cling in, dig in, defend well.
Yeah.
Shithouse one at the other end. We've scored a lot of penalties out the last 10 years. I was looking back at some of the previous ones.
Some late winners
we've
as
scored
well.
About 4 or 5 penalties, late winners. But in this game, we've gone there, played them off the park. 11v11, first 45 minutes, we've played them off the park, I think. So, yeah. Max, come to you first. As Josh says... Well, do you think he's being too optimistic, or do you think that we are on the verge of something he's on the verge of something special, I can tell.
I think...
Was that a Daryl Clark glance to the camera?
What do you know?
What do I know? I know that we are absolute mustard. I think he's right.
I'm clipping that up when we go down, by the way.
You can clip this up all you want, mate. I said at the start of the season, and I uphold it, I just feel it. This is a good side. We're playing well. You know, the way we want to play and the brand of football is as good as anything I've seen at this level in the blue and white quarters.
My concern is if we don't start taking our chances, we're going to get to the end of the season and just be the valiant losers that
so
go
what?
Everywhere, play well.
So what? What's the worst that happens, okay? The worst that happens is we're playing
off,
this
he's
way.
He's off, honey.
And
you put 50p in him.
And we finish 12th. We finish 30th.
Yeah.
It's not a one-year plan. This isn't boom or bust. You know, we have a lot of this squad on 3-year deals. We will add to it. We will keep building and we will keep pushing. And I think, you know, we are climbing up the table. Look at last season. We finished 17th. And that was with a really good start to the season. This year, the football is miles better. We're giving teams much better games. We're competing with the top teams. We're not beating them yet. It's not quite there. But the worst case scenario for me, you know, we're absolutely going to be nowhere near the relegation zone.
We're 5% off, though, aren't we? Rather than 35%
exactly.
off like last season.
We're close. It's very close. It might not happen this year. We might finish, you know, 11th, whatever. But
it's not
the end of the world. You know, the direction we're heading in is up. And next summer, you know, look at the recruitment this summer. It was fantastic. I have every bit of confidence that January will be strong, and that next summer will be good as well. So for me. I'm just happy that, you know, we're moving forwards, and I'm optimistic that we can move into that top six and be a team that, you know, finishes in the playoffs or around it. But if we don't, it's not a failure. It's a success. We're pushing up the table. We're growing as a club. Look at the new stand we've got. Look at the debt-free situation we're in. We've got new owners. We've got a lot of assets at the club, like Connor Taylor, Luke Thomas. You know, some really talented players that are obviously going to have interest next summer as well. And it's just good times. If we can just make it click, I think people are going to start to see it as well.
Love the little action you did with that make it click then. Big fan. Weeksy.
I mean,
you think we're going to finish above Oxford?
That.
You think we're going to finish above Peterborough? Who are we not going to finish above? Pompey.
Yeah, let's be second.
I'll take second.
I'll take it right now. I actually agree with everything that Max says. I think the key is keeping in touch up until January, and then
if we're
what
in
10 January.
Points of it by January, when we will definitely go out and get a striker.
Yeah,
who
we know
is.
The budget's there.
We don't know
whoever
who it will
it is,
be.
Yeah.
Might know.
But we will definitely go out and get a striker.
Yeah.
I have a quick point for you. Sorry to interject when you're trying to do the schedule and keep things on board. Would you rather be a team like Oxford who are up there until January, you know, second place in the automatics, and then have to try and stay there after January in the second half of the season? Or would you rather be, you know, 10th, 11th place and then in the second half of the season, mount that charge.
That's the Rovers' way of going up. Yeah. We always, I've never Late known run. Us be up there and go up. We always do the second half surged up the table, don't we? It's the gas way.
That last 3 months of the League Two season, just give me that again.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I gave that rally on the pod when we started doing the weekly episodes?
Yes. That lasted for about a month and then, and then we sat
We went
out.
Up though. We did go up. It was brilliant. We podded on every episode and I would love for us to get to March and say, this is now GasCast weekly episodes because the championship...
Because the gas are going up, championship bound. Yeah.
We move into the sportsman. daily pod.
Permanent residency, yeah.
Who knew the pod would be this positive after a defeat?
I know.
We're all talking about championship next season. right, three individual performances I want to talk about from the Oxford game to finish us off. So, first one... Make no apologies for talking about this guy again, Harvey Vale.
Oh.
Weeksy. This man's performance is at left back.
Oh my God.
You love him.
I absolutely adore this
He's gotten us out of a massive hole. Yeah. And for me, I don't know when Gordon and Friend are back. I know Gordon came back in the squad recently and then was dropped out again.
Yeah,
Friend hasn't been seen for a while. Even when they're back fit, two natural left backs, I would not drop Harvey Vale.
No, and I think... you know, you can't credit the guy any more than that, can you?
I thought he was so good against Oxford again.
He's just really, really good. He doesn't look out of place. And that's probably the, you know, probably second season in men's football. I know he was on loan at Hull last season, but he had a couple of appearances. And just to play in a position, I've said before, I think at fullback is a position you can get away with playing at a position. But he's done it just seamlessly and looks actually, if he came in as a left back, you'd be delighted. If he came in, we didn't know that he was a midfielder, midfielder. You'd say, he's a really good left back. So,
also loves a tackle. He's good going forward.
Yeah,
but also, I mean, he's got that other side of his game.
Don't get me wrong, I still think he does get caught out in the channel a little bit. You need to coincide that with the fact that Josh Grant's playing next to him, you could arguably say, is out of position, although we think he looks natural there, is... You know, that's quite a big change, and they both seem to have got thrown in there with, you know, major injuries that we've got. But again, his performance at Oxford, the way we're 10 yards further up the pitch, and when we have the ball, which we have 60-70% of the time, he turns into an extra midfielder.
Yeah.
And it just gives us a completely different dimension. And for an opposition side to think about, he's getting crosses in the box. I think it allows Collins to roam more inside, which is more of a danger for me. I know, I think that's probably his favourite position coming in off the left, but I prefer him inside a little bit more in those little pockets. I don't think you'd change it with all of our left backs back. I think you're right, and it's really strong performance at a strong League One side. And
yeah.
I think he's getting better and better and looking more and more confident.
He's got a lovely little, when he gets the ball at left back, lovely little sand wedge down the... Is sand wedge? You're the golf man. Is that the right term?
Yeah. Little gap wedge,
that's
maybe.
It. Yeah. Just sort of opens his body up, just curls it down the left for Collins to run onto. Love him. Love that guy.
Yeah, doing really well.
Next man we're going to talk about, Connor Taylor. Obviously slipped, not his fault. My man of the match from this game in a Rovers shirt. I just thought, again, what a performance from him. I think he's been in a superb vein of form now for 4 or 5 weeks. Started a little bit slowly when he came back, obviously working his way back in. But I just think he looks easily as good as the League Two Taylor we had, if not better, because obviously he's now... The way I'd put it is, I think he looks as comfortable and as above this level almost as he did when he was in League Two. I just think he looks heads and shoulders above this level.
Stoke have made a massive mistake letting him go.
Huge mistake.
Massive. I don't know if they've got a buyback clause or something, but I cannot fathom why they would let him go for 300,000 British pound coins, because he is worth every single one of them. He's immense. And he's 20 years old. He might even be 19.
Yeah, someone.
He's so young. And to be, you know, that good at this level, at that age, his ceiling is ridiculous. How far his trajectory... for his career is, there isn't really a ceiling for it. He could play Premier League if he keeps going as he is. It's just immense. We're very, very done a very, very astute bit of business to be as patient as we have, because I think we've tried every single window since he left. We've asked the question, we've put money on the table and said it's there. They've said no. We tried again on loan, they said no. They didn't really play him, and then eventually they've kind of got bored of us nagging and they've been like, fine, okay, 300,000, go, just have him.
Just want to shut us up.
Yeah, like,
300k is an
I couldn't believe it.
I would have been buzzing with 600, 700k for him.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's got to be one of the best, if not the best under 21 player in the league.
Future captain.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, easily.
Maybe even next season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so vocal. You wouldn't want that to hinder him, because I know that can weigh heavy on some people's shoulders, can it? But yeah, he's so vocal. That's the changing in I've seen. It's just barking orders, which you want from a centre half, don't you?
Do you know what I almost think as well? In that when Wilson and Kramer got their injuries and obviously Grant started filling in, I was a little bit nervous about that partnership. But Grant, as you said earlier, Weeksy, I think has been superb there. But also, I almost feel like Taylor is enjoying being the main man at the back. Like when he was next to Wilson's the experienced, grizzly, no-nonsense centre-back. And I feel like Taylor almost became like the second fiddle to him. Whereas now, when he's next to Grant, who's not a centre-back, Taylor kind of has to step up and be the number
one. He's in control of that back four, isn't he?
I just feel like he looks like he's really enjoying taking on that responsibility of being the main man at the back, I'll be really interested to see, because presumably there will come a time where Wilson's fit again and probably comes in next to Taylor, although you'd struggle to drop Grant. Anyway, that's a problem for later down the line. But if that does happen and we've got Taylor Wilson, I'd be interested to see if Taylor's performances stay at that level or if they do dip a bit. Anyway, just an interesting thought. So last man I want to chat about. Not you, Collins.
Don't talk about me, mate. I've got two left feet.
So Aaron Collins. Weird one. I don't really know how to talk about him, because in this game, I think it was another kind of mixed game from him where had some chances, didn't take them, in my opinion, threw himself to the floor, which he does annoyingly often, to be honest, when he was in a really good position. Obviously, but as we said, takes the goal really well. We're now 11 league games into the season and he is on 3 goals and 3 assists. And for me, despite coming away from some games this season being frustrated with him, I still usually come away thinking, yeah, but he was by far consistently our most attacking threat in that game. Like, he's always involved in creating chances for himself and for others. We've got a question here from Pioneer Spud, who says figures of 1 million plus were being thrown around for Collins at the end of last season. Do you think we should have cashed in on him, or will he come good? And I just think there does seem to be this kind of almost like negative tone around Collins this season, despite the fact that, all right, he hasn't hit the heights of the first 6 months of last season, but I do still, and I did again after watching this game, still came away and thought, if Collins wasn't on the pitch, we wouldn't have been anywhere near the attacking threat we were. So he is frustrating, but also he's vital.
He's been disrespected a little bit, and I don't mean like directly, and nobody is like particularly targeting him. I just feel like he's a little bit, when I say disrespect,
put some respect on the man's name.
I just feel he's a little bit underappreciated in the role he plays in the team. And I think, as I said earlier, I think he's close to getting back to that peak he was hitting. I would say he's probably 70% there, but 70% of that to that peak is still, you know, a top performing forward in the league. You know, 6 goals and assists already. You know, what was he? I think he was at 15 goals and assists at Christmas last season. If he can,
so it's a direct goal involvement in better than 1 every 2 games already, so far
exactly.
This season.
You can't argue that.
You can't really. And if it gets to Christmas, his projection, if he keeps these numbers up, which isn't always how football works, as we know, because otherwise he would have got 45, I think, goals and assists last season if he carried on that trajectory. But, you know, he's a very streaky player. He will go through runs of 10 games where he will, you know, score an assist 10, and then he'll go 10 games where he doesn't. That's fine. Some strikers are like that. I think we noticed it more how good he was last season when he was the star man. He was the only player up there who could do that. Now we've got a lot of talent around him. He kind of blends in more, but he's still incredibly attacking and incredibly dangerous to have on the ball. He's probably the main player that opposition teams are scouting how to defend against. And as you said at the end of last season, most teams now know about him and they probably have a plan for him, whereas last season he was new to the league. You know, the role he was playing was very different. He played false nine for us in League Two. Now he plays on the left wing. Most teams are kind of aware of him. Whether the challenge for him now is to be able to still produce the high numbers around that. But, he's not an individual. He's part of a team. And I think as far as the team goes, he's got the most assists, I want to say, with three. I don't think anyone's got more than three. So
yeah, I think him and Jack Hunt potentially got the most assists.
So I can't argue with it. I think he's a top talent. He's got a year and a half left on his deal. I would, at this stage, coming up towards January, be looking at maybe extending it.
Yeah, I know another year at least.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've got quite a few out of contract this summer. We'll talk about that on another pod for sure. But, yeah, Collins is, he's close to getting back to his best. And I just think when it clicks, as we've said, we're nearly there. When the whole team gets going, he is going to thrive. And in this stint we're in where it's not quite clicking, he's still producing those attacking numbers. It's not as standout as last year, but it's still a decent attacking return that most clubs will be happy that they've got a left winger who is putting those numbers out.
Yeah. I think the frustrating thing is, like we said earlier, he's probably missed three or four one-on-ones this season. So really, you look at his stats, he could be sat here right now on six or seven goals, three assists, and you'd be like, wow, yeah, what numbers. Weeksy, do you want to give me some Collins thoughts, from this game and just the general chat around him?
It's probably fair for me to say that I have been quite critical of him, you know, certainly in our group chat. Like, I think it was a game, was it against Wigan? I said Collins is doing my head doing in, my and, head it, and then he went on to have a brilliant game. Look, it is mentioned against Oxford, it was kind of like when the substitutions being made, there's a few murmurs like, do we take Collins off type thing? And, you know, I thought, no, you can't, because he's always been that type of player where he might not do anything all game and then he'll do something ridiculous. So, you know, I thought he was right against Oxford, to be fair to him. He did look a constant threat. And I think probably mirror the rest of the team. When he catches fire and really clicks, he's going to be a serious problem. If we do go and get that striker in January, you know, potentially we've got a star striker, whoever that may be, Brown, Collins, Thomas. I just think, you know, all of those options, it's just they can't not fail, if that makes sense. If one of them's not scoring, the other one may take on the mantle, start scoring. And I think Max made a great point where I think Collins is just a case of him just blending in to better players around him, and he's not standing out as much. So, you know, I'd certainly be looking at extending his contract, and I don't think we made a mistake not cashing in on him. I think nobody came in for him, and I think it's just a good thing for us, and I think we're a better side of him in it, put it that way. And I think he's a bit of a maverick type player where something happened from nothing, and I think that's really important to have that, because otherwise it's just 11 robots that become very predictable. And if you've got someone like Collins, you don't quite know where he's going to pop up or what he's going to do, that can only be a good thing. And you can't really argue his numbers either this season. I know my little lad was going, oh, Collins is doing nothing. I went, hang on a minute, he's popping up some goals now and some assists and everything. And like Max says there's not many left wingers that will come up with his numbers. And I think we're still very lucky to have him.
I honestly think Collins' biggest issue is just how good he was in the first 6 months of last season.
Oh, it was insane, wasn't it?
Because his numbers, I just don't think he can actually replicate that. I almost look back on that and think, you know, I feel like a lot of us kind of expect him to get back at that level and hit those numbers again. And I'm actually just not really sure whether that's ever going to happen, or whether that was just a golden 6 months.
If he has that 6 months at the back end of this season, how exciting could that be?
Yeah.
You know, with us in January, putting some investment in the side, with Aaron Collins having that 6 months in reverse, could be pretty special.
There's obviously kind of 2 months or so away from Christmas now. Let's say if Collins gets to that point with six goals and six assists, they would be amazing numbers, but they'd be half of what he achieved in the first 6 months of last season. So you would naturally look back and be a little bit disappointed, but actually they would still be very phenomenal numbers for a winger.
If over a season a winger gets, if you double that, he gets 12 goals, 12 assists over a season, he's had an unbelievable season.
Yeah.
So that's quite a good season for a striker, isn't it? So if he's doing that from left wing, we can't complain about that.
Yeah. Right, cool. Let's finish off the pod with a little Burton away preview. Obviously, it is a little while away with our game this weekend being postponed. But it's our next fixture. So we have played Burton at the Pirelli on 7 occasions. 5 losses, 1 draw, 1 victory. The victory was the 4-0 there last season. Scorers from that game?
Collins, Evans. Oh, who's the last one? He knows it.
I was there.
He knows
who
it.
Who was it?
It's a defender, isn't it?
Defender.
Connolly.
Yes.
James Connolly.
Correct.
Connolly.
Correct.
There you go.
Burton unbeaten in their last five, taking 11 points. As we were saying before recording, Max, they've got 35-year-old Muzzy Carriol still doing bits.
I'm not sure he's doing bits.
Well, he's not doing bits.
Is he still throwing stepovers? Or
I fall into bits.
I watched him... he's going to score now, I've said this. Yeah, I watched him play against Cambridge on the telly last night, and I saw him try and spin someone in central midfield. He just got bodied, and then he tried to play a ball over the top, and it went out for a throw-in.
So let's hope he starts then.
He's quite at the level he was, but now I've said that, he's going to do his classic step over, cut inside, curl it from 35 yards. So, sorry.
So, yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts going into this one, basically? Confident?
I'm going.
You're going whether I go with you or not. Yeah, you're going on your own.
At this rate, I'm going on my own because you have not committed to coming, and no one else seems to want to go with me. So I will go on my lonesome. And you know what? I will enjoy it, I think. I deserve
you
to
hope.
Enjoy it.
You do deserve to enjoy it. If anyone deserves to enjoy it, it's you.
Yeah, it's been a rough, was it 10 months now since I've seen a win in the flesh? So it would be nice. But no, I've just got a really good feeling. I think it'll be a good test to see whether, as I said earlier, we have pushed on from struggling against these low block sides, whether the introduction of Harvey Vale at left back, like you said, has moved us and given us that extra dynamism against these teams who sit back, and how the defence are going to do against a side that have a lot of counter-attacking threat. So it'll be an interesting one. I'm positive. I'm looking at the next 10 games and I'm licking my lips a bit because there's some, you know, a lot of them look on paper very appealing. And I'd like us to get a bit of momentum going now with the positivity we've shown over the last five games. We've got 3 wins, 2 losses in the last 5 games.
Yes.
And the 2 losses away at Peterborough and Oxford. I feel aggrieved by both, that we didn't deserve to lose either, and we have lost both. So a lot of positivity, keep the momentum going, and let's put on a good display and get 3 points away from home and just keep this train moving.
Weeksy, you're a positive man. I presume you're feeling positive.
Yeah.
However,
go on.
Injuries. Massive concern. Massive concern. Obviously, it's not... This break's probably come at the right time for us this season to hopefully get either bodies back or at least closer to being back in the future. But the amount of injuries we're picking up has to be a worry. We haven't been able to field a full bench the last 2 games.
I think
we're down to the bare bones in certain positions, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we noticed it on Saturday, actually. We didn't have many attacking options.
Sinclair was kind of it, wasn't he, really?
Yeah, and... It did become noticeable then, but I'll be honest, I'm not overly concerned. Obviously, sooner rather than later, I'd like to have some back. But
wait till Connor Taylor goes down holding his knee at Burton away.
You know, that is a worry. You know, I think we're at the stage now where I better add as well now, I won't forgive myself. I think we're at a stage now, though, 1 more or 2 more injuries. I think we would be in trouble. We are on the brink. So I think. Not only because I was missing this Saturday's game, so I'm delighted it's been called off. But I think it's really going to... I think we'll probably have 1 or 2 back. We don't seem to get much intel out of the club anymore to who's out for how long, or they seem to disappear and then come back. So,
do you want our injuries 11?
Go on.
Yeah.
We haven't got a keeper, so we'll ignore that.
Well, Belly's on an emergency loan.
It's all right.
He?
Belly can go in goal in the
emergency
injuries 11.
Emergency
loan in the injuries 11. Right back, we're going to put Gordon there, just because we got no one else to go there. Centre backs, Wilson and Kramer. Left back, Friend. Right midfield, Brown. I know he's not injured, but he's suspended. So, left midfield, Thomas. Centre mid, Grant Ward and Rossiter. Up front, Marquis. And actually, is that it? Marquis? We haven't got another injured strike. We've only got 3, haven't we? So, all right, injured 10. So, anyway, the point is, a lot of injuries.
I mean, that side does well in the league on its own, doesn't it?
I think that side comes top half in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be a concern. And Burton, I know you're confident, Max. I really don't think it'll be an easy game. I think they are quite strong at home. What would you... There's limited options of what we can do, but what would you do with the lineup?
Unchanged.
Would you go unchanged?
Unchanged, 100%. We're on a good thing here. We were unlucky at Oxford. We had a great 3-0 home win. The Wigan game was also very good. I know that was one change in that one. McCormick came in. Martin and McCormick for Marquis. So he made a couple of changes from that one. But yeah, I wouldn't change it. I think it's working. It just needs time on the grass. That's what it needs. We just need to test it, you know, let it happen, and hopefully it will return results over the next 10 games. Sometimes you have a system and you don't need to change it. You think, this is good. Give it 10 games. Don't change it. And over those 10 games, we should hopefully get 6-7 wins. I wouldn't look to change any game plan. Obviously, address their specific threats and adapt for that and plan for that. But in terms of what we want to do on the ball, we'll have areas we want to target against them specifically. But in general, just keep it the same. A side note, I really love Jack Hunt. I love what he's added since coming in.
What a player.
I was waiting for you to chime in.
Oh my God.
Just keep it wide, keep Vale and Hunt wide, keep the forwards narrow, overload them on attack, and I just love some goals and a win would be much needed. But I 100% agree, it's not going to be easy. I'm not taking any game of this division for granted. I think the timing just feels right for us to... We feel aggrieved. I want us to go into this with a bit of bite and a bit of anger.
Hopefully we use that positively and put it into the next performance.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the difference between Oxford and us, right? I mean, they weren't playing well in that first half, but they got it. They got the ball in the net. And that's what good teams do. They get that ball in the net, whether they're playing well or not. So I just want us to go out there, get that ball in that onion bag, and bring home the 3 points. It's the old debate, results v performances, right? But these performances that we're putting out are good enough that I'm confident over the next 10, the results will follow. So just keep doing what we're doing, and yeah, wouldn't look to change anything. There's nothing really I can fault or say that needs changing, that needs tweaking. Just keep as is. Sure.
Making the trip?
So tempted.
He's tempted.
Yeah. I think we might sort of have negotiations later on, Max. I think we might be going. Yes.
Negotiations?
Yeah, so who's going to drive?
Well, I could drive.
Okay. Petrol prices.
There we go.
There.
Negotiations are done. That was the quickest deal I've ever seen.
No, should have got me in at deadline day.
Yeah, should have
done a lot quicker.
Yeah. We would have had a striker.
JCH in the building.
I am tempted. I think I probably will with missing a week, obviously.
Yeah. You said there's a good boozer there, didn't you?
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
Hope so. At the Brewers.
The Brewers,
that's
yeah.
True.
It should be pretty good. I can't remember what it's called, but
boozer
it was,
there.
Seemed to have a good time. And it was real nice weather last time. It's right at the start of the season, wasn't it? So
yeah.
But team-wise, there's only going to be one enforced change, isn't there? So the only decision the only decision he's got to make is whether he plays, puts Evans in out there.
Oh, yeah, you can go unchanged.
Yeah.
It's true. Put Evans right mid.
That's an awful shout. go on, carry on.
That's an awful shout.
It's almost as bad as your false nine, Evans.
Evans false nine.
Not having either of
just wants to squeeze Evans in wherever.
I love Evans.
Desperate for it.
I do. He has got a decision there to make. So whether, if it's like, the obvious one's probably Scott Sinclair.
I mean, Sinclair, Martin, Collins is kind of our only fit and available front three we can go with.
Whether he plays Evans in a more forward position, McCormick obviously can play a little bit further forward as well, and he can bring Finlay in, or put Evans in centre mid. So there are options there. I think he goes for Evans. I think he'll put Evans in an away game. That's my thought. If it was me, I'd put Sinclair in. I think he's been a little bit unlucky with the minutes he's got.
I agree.
You know, if we're going to go and win the game, be positive, put Sinclair in.
I suppose the problem is if you start with Sinclair, though, if you get to the 70th minute and you need some kind of impact player off the bench with a little bit of pace, and there isn't anyone.
No,
if you
no.
start with him.
Is Greenslade on the bench?
I don't know.
He's still out on loan?
I can't remember if he
I think
was
he's on loan, isn't he?
Didn't we have a youngster on the bench last game? Probably should have done some research.
Yeah.
See, I think this is where Ryan Jones would have come in.
I was thinking that.
I won't go back into that.
No, but I think he would have been a great option, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Do you want to give me a score prediction, Max?
I am going to go 2-1 Rovers. Sorry, it's a bit boring, but it's a win.
Who's going to score?
Collins and McCormick.
Nice.
I was going to say 3-1 Rovers.
3-1.
I'm going to go, Collins 2, and I think Chris Martin will get his first goal.
Yeah, nice, okay. I'm going to go 3-0, Gas.
The positivity tonight.
Big predictions on here. Predictions, yeah. Confident, I am really confident. I do think we will use the kind of anger from Oxford and take it into that game. I just hope they attack us, basically. And if we can get the first goal, I think we'll be laughing. So, Happy days. All right, cool. Let's wrap it up there. So thank you once again to everyone for listening and watching, and for those of you who submitted questions for the episode. And we will be back in a couple of weeks' time. So until then...
Go on.
Up the gas.
Up the gas.